Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The first king of Israel was King Saul, and it was during his reign that David rose from an obscure shepherd boy to be a national hero, and that was with his encounter with Goliath. Now, Saul failed to realize what great value David was to his kingdom. When David killed the giant Philistine, the people sang his praises, proclaiming how that Saul had slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. But Saul was unwilling to accept David's rise to prominence. He grew jealous of him, and he set out to destroy David. And as a result of Saul's pursuit of him, David became a fugitive, fleeing for his very life, going from place to place, trying to stay alive in the very nation that he had helped to preserve and defend. And more than once it seemed that Saul had David cornered, and David's death seemed inevitable. But as Saul would move in for the kill, God would intervene and enable David to escape. And in such times when all seemed lost, David would utter cries of distress to the Lord. He realized that he had no hope and no refuge except in God. And by himself he would be powerless, without a way to escape, subject to his enemy. And even those he befriended would betray him if it was convenient for them to do so. David wrote, "I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and with my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before him. I showed him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, and there was not man that would know me. Refuge failed me." Notice the next phrase, friend. "No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me." Now David's pitiable plea is much like that of a sinner who comes to realize that he's under condemnation, having no escape from the torment that awaits him, being alone and helpless, exposed to ruin that the devil has provided. All people reach that stage in the age of accountability before God. At one time or another, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And none of us has the power to redeem ourselves, and we cannot do that standing alone. Now, the extent of David's anxiety and his grief is seen in these words, "No man cared for my soul." Well, it seemed nobody cared whether he lived or died, or even what he did. This is an expression of complete dejection, a sense of being abandoned, one of loneliness and resignation to destruction and to despair. He felt so unwanted and so undeserving. Has David been the last to suffer such feelings as that? Well, we think not. Is it not true that every sinner who realizes his separation from God, he knows what David is saying? What is it to care for the soul of man? Well, it involves recognition of certain things, including the fact that man is an immortal being. Man not only has a soul, he is a soul, friend. He has been created in the spiritual image of God, Genesis 1:27. And God is spirit, John 4:24. Therefore, man is spirit as well as fleshly body. Acts 17:28 teaches that we're the offspring of God. And God is the Father of spirits, Hebrews 12 and verse 9. Job said, "There is a spirit in man." In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16, Paul speaks of the inner man and the outer man, having reference to the immortal soul within the mortal body. Solomon says of the body, at death, it returns to the dust from which it came, but the spirit returns to God who gave it, Ecclesiastes 12:7. The soul, you see, is that part of man that differs from the body. It's not dissolved by death of the body. It does not cease to exist at the death of the body. It is the spirit of man, and it survives physical death, at which time there is a separation of the body from the spirit, James 2 and verse 26. So to care for the soul includes the conviction of the existence of the soul and the conviction of its worth. The care we give something generally is in proportion to the value that we place upon it. A child is more valuable than his toy. A diamond is more valuable than just a piece of glass. And we ought to care for the soul because of its worth. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" Friend, caring for the soul includes the recognition of the danger to which the soul is exposed. Peter wrote, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul." Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In James chapter 5 and verse 20, it teaches that a soul can be saved from death, and that, of course, is talking about spiritual death, which is an eternal separation from God and from his blessings. The most precious thing pertaining to man, friend, is his soul, and is open to the gravest and most treacherous kind of dangers. But we can be saved. We can be saved through the word of God. James 1 and verse 21 says, "Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul." Peter wrote in 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Peter went on to say, "By our obedience to that truth, our souls are purified." But one of life's hardest realities is that not everybody will care for the soul. They won't care for your soul. Who is it that does not care? Well, obviously, those who deny you are a soul, they don't care. And those who deny the existence of God, of course, they don't care. And this includes many otherwise intelligent people, maybe even highly educated people. But according to the will of God, they make themselves fools by declaring there is no God, Psalm 19, verse 10. And such people pollute our colleges, friend, and our universities, and they contaminate every realm of life's activities. The sophisticates of the present generation and this progressive age, who place their total emphasis on the material to the neglect of the spiritual, they even deny the spirit, they have no concern for the soul, yours or theirs. Those like the ones Paul mentioned in Philippians 3 and verse 19 don't care for your soul. He says their God is their belly. Their glory is their shame. They mind earthly things, taking pride in the very things for which they ought to be ashamed. Oh, there is an abundance of people willing to sell their soul for a mess of this world's pottage, even as Esau sold his birthright. They're willing to forget God, forget the need of salvation, while grasping for the temporal and fleeting and sinful pleasures and the power and the recognition that this life can offer. There be those whose morality and whose virtue and whose honesty is so near non-existent that they will dissipate themselves for material gain, and they would do the same for you by peddling to you that which defiles both mind and body. There are the merchants of vice and crime, those who spread illegal drugs, pornography, the alcoholic beverage, nicotine, sensuality, and lawlessness. They don't care for your soul. They are more concerned for dollars than they are for decency. They love money more than morality. And false religious teachers, though they profess to care for the soul, they corrupt the word of God by including the doctrines of men, as found in their creeds and their disciplines, their manuals, their catechisms, their philosophies, their prayer books, their confessionals, with their theories and theologies. They negate God's commands as something optional. They allow what God forbids, and they bind what God does not bind. They discount God's goodness. They scoff at his severity. The religious world is blighted by those who do not care for your soul, but care for your goods. Parents sometimes fail to show enough care for the souls of their young. They allow their young to be brought up without the spiritual training that God expects parents to give to the child. The true Christian parent cares more for the soul than he does for anything else about the child. Doubtless there are many parents who try to provide for their children, but they fail to provide for their spiritual needs. Who does care for the soul? Well, obviously God does, and Christ does. He came to this earth and died for the soul. The Holy Spirit does, as provided us the Scriptures. We sing the song, "Does Jesus Care?" Friend, there's never a time when God does not care. It's like when Jesus prayed over the city of Jerusalem. Oh, how he cared for that city. But they would not pay any attention to the messages of salvation that were brought to them. Christ wants one all to come to repentance. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. That's because he cares for the soul. Consider what God has done on man's behalf. And the question of his care is certainly answered. And angels care for the soul. Do you know the Bible teaches us there is rejoicing in heaven over those, even one sinner, that repenteth? Luke 15 and verse 7. And I want to tell you something else, dear people. You may at some time feel like you're alone in the world, somewhat like David, who was saying that no man cared for his soul. You know God cares. You know Christ cares. You know the Holy Spirit cares. You know the angels care. But I want to tell you there are others who care also. Gospel preachers care. That's why they preach the gospel. Because the gospel is God's power unto salvation, and they want men to know it, and to believe it, and to obey it. A sincere Bible class teacher cares. And when you turn to the Lord's church, elders care. And you may have Christian loved ones. They care for your soul. No man cared for my soul, David said. But it is extremely sad when one does not care for his own soul. He doesn't care enough to obey and to be saved. And this is a care that nobody can provide for anybody else. We have to care for our own souls if we're going to be among the redeemed in heaven with God. Let me ask you, dear listening friend, do you care for your soul? Well, if so, how much do you really care? Will you do what is necessary to care for the soul, to obey the Lord, to be forgiven of your sins, to be added to the church, the company of the saved? Indeed, God wants you to do that very thing. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.